I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Ben Anderson, Sean O'Connell, filling in for Alex and Scott today. You can find Sean on Twitter at RealOCSports. Find me at Ben's Hoops. And, of course, you can follow along with the show. Tweet at us at KSL Unrivaled. All right, OC, we've been talking about the latest with the Pac-12, college sports, this push to come back. I have to say, just because of everything that's gone on in the last 2 months, I've totally blanked that we didn't have a March Madness tournament, and the amount of money that has gone from those schools, as we've been talking about, kind of this enormous financial discrepancy that A, already exists in college football between the haves and the have-nots, or the Power Five conferences and the Group of Five. When you're a college basketball team or a G5 college basketball school, that kind of San Diego State, that relies on that aspect of making the tournament, bringing that money in, losing that for 1 year is just absolutely enormous. Losing that much money, if you lose it again next year, if we don't get college basketball back, you will see programs shut down.
Yeah, for sure. And we actually, on my Pac-12 Today show on SiriusXM, we talked to Larry Krystkowiak about that today. He was on our show today, and he said that, look, I know that everyone was affected by this, but for college basketball, even though we got most of our season done, and the Utes were eliminated from the Pac-12 tournament when they finally shut things down, he said college basketball got hit maybe as hard or harder than anyone else because the crowning event of the year, the one that brings in
all of
the
money. Yeah, all of the money.
All of it didn't happen. So you played, you did your thing, you did your job, and you didn't get the payoff at the end. And look, from a player perspective, that's obviously devastating. But from a coach's perspective and from an athletic department's perspective, it kind of sucks that we have to talk about how the economics drive everything, but we saw the NCAA and people were talking about, yeah, there's an insurance policy for this. I think that insurance policy is going to pay $240 million,
yeah,
which is like a quarter of the revenue that actually would have come in. So it's not okay.
We've been talking about an article that came out today at CBSSports.com talking about the financial impact of everything, why schools are coming back, why there does feel like there's this push to come back, and what kind of the impact will be if we don't see it, which is where we're talking about this divide between the Power Five and the Group of Five teams. A Washington University study, according to ESPN, says if football is canceled this summer or this fall, and I actually don't think it's going to be. I think we're going to get college football, yeah. But I think one of the reasons we are going to get it is because if they don't play this year, they're going to lose $4 billion. Again,
that's right.
You may have an enormous insurance policy. No one insured it for $4 billion. There's no insurance company waiting to pay that money out on
that's
the other
right.
end. So you have to come back. And I do, I hate to have this kind of cold conversation about it because I'm team life over team economy. You know, I'm team life over team money. I want people to live and be healthy and be fine. I don't know how sports, which is what we're talking about, recover if you lose that much money. I don't know how you flatten out to pay salaries ever again.
Yeah, I don't think it will recover. I mean, college athletics as we know it, without this year's NCAA basketball tournament that we just mentioned and without a college football season, would be decimated. You know, people wouldn't have to argue and moan about Title IX anymore because there'd be no money for any program. It would just be, sorry, guys, thanks for showing up, but We don't have money to pay the coaches. We don't have money to pay for your scholarships. The facility and the delicious menu that you've got up there, nothing to pay for it anymore. So, yeah, I mean, it's coming back. Larry Scott went on record either yesterday or today and said, I'm not concerned that we won't have Pac-12 football. That obviously is music to the ears of people like me whose job depends on the Pac-12.
Absolutely.
It's Utah football fans elated about this, even if it's going to be a compromised product with no fans in the stadium and that kind of thing. But I cannot, Ben, get away from the idea that, all right, we're going to get college football back, but what is it going to look like when inevitably some players, some coaches, some support staff test positive for coronavirus? How is it going to be handled? Adam Silver has said for the NBA, we are not going to bother coming back if we're in a place where one positive test would shut everything down like it did the first time. There's no reason to come back if that's the case. So what is the threshold? I've talked about this. I've tried to have conversations with smarter people than myself about this. What do you think the threshold will be or should be?
I remember a game the Jazz played against the Denver Nuggets earlier this season, and the Nuggets had, I think, seven players that were active. So they had their five starters, and they had two bench guys because they had just made a trade and they had some injuries. So they didn't have everyone active, and somehow they beat the Jazz. Neither here nor there, they beat the Jazz, but they were able to play. I don't actually think you could go an entire postseason or seven games of the regular season and then the postseason with the expectation that, hey, we're going to play even if 40% of the teams are decimated or 40% of each team is decimated.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to be in a really tough spot if you end up with a team where there's an outbreak and say, hey, it was in one locker room and everybody got it and that team can't play. Maybe you can have those guys forfeit their games. Maybe they lose out on the playoffs. Maybe they don't get to keep playing and you advance the other team if you're committed to finishing the season. But that threshold can't be that high for the league to feel comfortable continuing to play. It can't be more than 30%, can it?
I don't know. And there's got to be a difference between professional leagues and amateur leagues, which is what we're talking about with college football, right? Look, if Damian Lillard doesn't want to go play because he can't make this playoff, whatever the format is anyway, and he's a guy that's making $100 million a year between his endorsements and his salary and all that stuff, why would Brant Keithy be like, yes, I definitely want to go play and expose myself and my family to whatever risk? Look, I want college football back more than you do listening. I promise you.
Right.
My livelihood depends on it. Yeah. Okay. I want it back more than you do. But I also need there to be a clear and concise protocol so we know what to expect. Here's what you do. I think this is what you do. You test as much as you can, but knowing that college students getting back on campuses are not going to be social distancing. They're not going to be doing extra hand washing. They're not going to be taking precautions and wearing masks. College kids don't do that kind of stuff, right? So when you get a positive test, if it's Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, right, you still have to sequester him, quarantine him, get him away. Treat it like every other coach did with every other injury that's ever existed in college football. You move the drill. You say, sorry, Trevor Lawrence, we'd love to have you back, but you're probably gone for at least 6 weeks. And hopefully you recover and you test negative 3 weeks in a row and we can bring you back. But we cannot afford an outbreak on this team. And that's only one small little like nuance to this whole thing. What happens if it's Trevor Lawrence, his three best receivers, his best running back, and two of the best offensive linemen? Well, that's what Stanford has dealt with injuries the last few years. And we know what that does to a product of great football.
Yep.
Destroys it. So are we willing to watch that? Are you, as a Utah fan, going to give Kyle Whittingham and his coaching staff and everybody a pass if their seven best players have to sit out 4 weeks because of positive COVID tests? It's all stuff that needs to be talked about and thought about.
Do you have junk? Call Junk, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Give them a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They make junk disappear, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. The nice thing is, about some of these leagues, I don't trust all the leagues. I do trust the NBA, and I'm an NBA guy. I feel close to the league. I love the league. I trust Adam Silver. I believe they have contingency plans, and those contingency plans have contingency plans, and it's a tree that starts with what happens if one guy gets it at the top, and then every plan beyond that will be predetermined ideally as you get back to the season.
Yeah.
And still, here's the problem. We've never hosted an entire postseason at Disney World. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know what you don't know yet. And you're going to run into issues inevitably that you were not expecting, regardless of how well you planned. There will have to be a certain amount of luck for this to come back and go smoothly. It can go. I don't know if it can go smoothly. And I think that's what the NBA, what college football, college basketball, if it's able to come back towards the end of the season, the NFL, if it comes back, Major League Baseball, if it ever comes back, they have to be comfortable riding out a really bad situation at some point. And I don't know how you convince the players to do that.
I don't know how you convince coaches and doctors, team doctors, support staff, referees. That's the cohort. Like, look, the numbers that we see, the numbers that we are aware of, tell us that young people are less affected, young healthy people especially, are less affected than folks like, Nick Saban, who's 68 years old.
Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert are just fine.
They're fine.
They're going to be okay.
Thank the Lord, and hopefully that will be the case with everyone who gets sick in America moving forward. But we know that statistically that's not the case. And I know there's a lot of people out there listening, and they're saying it's less than 1%. All right. But how are you going to react when your favorite coach gets sick? How is the sports viewing world going to react if we didn't know about an underlying medical condition in LeBron James,
yep,
and he's decimated by this? He's floored. It affects him long term, or heaven forbid, kills somebody that we know about, that we value, even though we shouldn't value them over any other human life, but that we value as a pillar of these sporting communities. How are you going to react to it then? You have to know what your reaction is going to be, and are we going to continue?
I don't want to sound cold about this, but think of what the death of Kobe Bryant did when it was unexpected to the league that he was no longer playing in and wasn't a part of.
Yeah.
I mean, it shut down the league for 2 days. Two of the teams couldn't play for a week. He's not active anymore. He wasn't around the teams. So you're right. It's going to have an enormous impact. When we come back, hey, a guy who hasn't fought for a while, Mike Tyson's hearing his name back in the news. You actually got to hang out with Mike Tyson.
I did.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about why he's making the news again. It's coming up next, KSL's Unrivaled.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.